Our first case today is number 072631, Charles E. Getch against Michael Astrew. Mr. Schultz.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Barry Schultz on behalf of the plaintiff, Charles Getch. The ALJ's decision contains several errors in this case requiring reversal. The ALJ found that the plaintiff could perform his past relevant work as a seam welder and therefore found him not disabled at step 4 of the sequential evaluation process. But in making that determination, the ALJ was required to consider all of the requirements of the claimant's past work, not just the general requirements such as sitting and standing and lifting. In this case, it's uncontradicted on the record that the plaintiff's job as a seam welder required him to be exposed to extremes of temperatures, both hot in the summer and extremes of cold in the winter. In addition, as a welder, it was very smoky in the area where he worked.
With respect to the hot and cold, that was just in that one particular plant, am I correct? That wouldn't necessarily be true if you were to perform that occupation someplace else.
Well, the record actually doesn't say that. The vocational expert indicated that a seam welder was similar to a machine tender. But he actually, the job that Mr. Getch performed was as a seam welder, not as a general machine tender. And it's the specific job that he performed that the ALJ was supposed to look at. And in fact, in this case, the ALJ found that Mr. Getch could perform his job as he actually performed it, not as it's performed in the national economy. And also, the vocational expert testified that at least 50% of the machine tender jobs are performed in these same types of environments with exposure to the hot and cold. The plaintiff testified that being exposed to these types of environments caused him to cough, and that coughing and along with sneezing were the two things that caused the most severe pain in his separated, the area of his chest where he has the separated sternum. Two of the state agency doctors, Drs. Landwehr and Bassnagel, who reviewed the file, both provided the opinions that Mr. Getch should avoid temperature extremes. But while the ALJ relied to some extent on the opinions of those doctors for the plaintiff's lifting and carrying limitations, he ignored their opinions that the plaintiff should avoid temperature extremes. Even the commissioner, in his brief to this court, on another issue, argues that the ALJ is bound to consider the opinions of the state agency doctors as expert opinions. And Social Security ruling 96-6P states that specifically. So if the ALJ is mandated to consider their opinions as expert opinions, and in fact, according to Social Security ruling 96-6P, if the ALJ's conclusions conflicts with the opinions of the state agency doctors, the ALJ has to explain why he's reaching a different conclusion.
Yeah, help me. If you're successful in getting a remand here because the ALJ perhaps didn't consider these temperature extremes and chemical exposures on this particular job, the next issue would be, I would think, whether he can do any other job in the national economy.
That would not be correct because of the claimant's age. In this case, the ALJ would have...
He's 58 years old?
Yes. And
if he's over, 55?
Well, at age 55, he's limited to light work, and the ALJ found him limited to a reduced range of light work. At age 55, if he can't perform the seam welder job, then he has to be found disabled under the regulations.
So you would not have, because of his age, you do not have to also show that he could not perform any other job.
That's correct. Given the ALJ's findings, that's correct. And then for the period before his 55th birthday, the ALJ would have to determine whether there were jobs that existed that he could perform. But if he's limited to basically a sit-down, a sedentary job, then he'd be disabled as of his 50th birthday, or as of his alleged onset date in this case. This court has...
Dr. Rashan, that was one of the state-appointed doctors, correct?
That's correct.
But there was no cardiologist. There was a request. ALJ wanted a cardiologist, but Rashan was an internist, right?
That's correct.
And he said that he should avoid dust and smoke and fumes, but he said that extreme temperatures wouldn't affect the medical condition.
That's correct. So the ALJ had a conflict in the medical opinions, but the ALJ just ignored the issue altogether. And the ALJ is supposed to resolve this conflict and decide it's possible that he would have found that one or the other was correct. Maybe both doctors were accurate. You know, maybe the claimant has to avoid all of those conditions, or maybe just one or the other. But the ALJ ignored the issue altogether. And I think in this case, because of the exchange we just had, it's a critical issue in this case, and the ALJ should have addressed it and dealt with it. This court has a long string of cases, Nolan and the Strip Matter case, Dolly Smith versus Barnhart, saying that the ALJ has to consider the specific requirements of the past relevant work. Plaintiff also asserts that the ALJ made an inappropriate independent medical determination in this case. The claimant's treating cardiologist, Dr. Luanga, provided a detailed medical source statement as to what he felt that the claimant what he felt the claimant's limitations were. And they included lifting less than 10 pounds and sitting less than 6 hours a workday, standing and walking less than 2 hours in a workday. The ALJ rejected Dr. Luanga's opinion in part because he disagreed with the doctor's classification of the claimant's heart cardiac condition as being what's called a Class 4 under the New York Heart Association classification. But in this case, the ALJ underwent a very detailed medical assessment of the claimant's cardiac condition, and he found that it wasn't a Class 4 condition. He then analyzed it under a Class 3, and the ALJ determined it wasn't a Class 3, but that in actuality it was a Class 2 condition. And the ALJ then found that people with Class 2 cardiac impairments are capable of lifting 20 pounds occasionally and 10 pounds frequently and being on their feet for about half of a workday. But there's no medical evidence or medical opinion in this case which supports the ALJ's decision in that regard. The ALJ seemed to, on his own, undertake this cardiac analysis, and he should have called a cardiologist to testify at the hearing, or he could have sent questions to the claimant's treating cardiologist to find out why he gave that opinion or gave that conclusion. This issue also involves the fact that, you know, the ALJ was looking for some type of objective evidence, and he rejected Dr. Rashan's opinion to some extent because the claimant's strength was normal and his range of motion was normal and his reflexes were normal, all of those things. But you have to look at what is the particular impairment that a claimant has in order to know whether there should be findings. In this case, the claimant has a permanently separated sternum. He's morbidly obese, and he has a history of severe coronary artery disease. Based on those conditions, Dr. Rashan opined that the claimant could not sustain full-time work. And that opinion, which is by a doctor appointed by the ALJ to examine the claimant, is exactly the same opinion as the claimant's treating cardiologist. And the ALJ should not have rejected those two opinions because they were exactly the same, and one coming from a state agency appointed doctor, one from the claimant's treating doctor. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. We'll hear now from Mr. Guerin.
May it please the Court, James Guerin for the Commissioner. The ALJ in this case did just what he was supposed to do. He reviewed the entire record. He considered all the evidence. He resolved numerous conflicts in that evidence, and he explained his decision. Central issue in this case, as presented by Mr. Goetsch, is whether Mr. Goetsch could perform his past work, which involved watching a monitor as a machine automatically welded seams together, sitting and standing as he wished.
Well, can you address this issue of the temperature and the dust and the fact that the ALJ doesn't make any comments, or else I missed it, about that, or doesn't resolve that in his opinion? Because that's their biggest and perhaps most legitimate beef with the ALJ.
Yes, Your Honor. The ALJ did not specifically address the issues of these particular environmental limitations. What the ALJ did was review the evidence of record. He looked at the opinions of numerous doctors, and most of these doctors did not find any environmental limitations. In fact, they didn't find them even when they were given the opportunity to indicate them. Dr. Giha, the cardiologist who examined Mr. Getch back in 2001, he said that Mr. Getch shouldn't perform any heavy lifting, but he found he made no mention of any environmental limitations. The reviewing doctors, Drs. Bassnagel and Landwehr, as Mr. Schultz has noted, they did indicate that he had postural limitations that he could not be exposed to concentrated heat and cold. That, as far as I know, is the only place in the record where that limitation appears. Dr. Daly, his family doctor, said that he was disabled, but he didn't indicate any particular limitations, and he didn't indicate any environmental limitations. Dr. Lou Yinga, his treating doctor, at one point set out extreme limitations on his walking and sitting and lifting and posture due to coronary artery disease. And yet, he didn't set forth any environmental limitations. This is the same doctor who completed the cardiology classification form, which the ALJ rejected. As the district court noted, the ALJ rejected this form. He didn't play doctor. He simply analyzed the forms in terms of what limitations they were reflecting. The most recent report in the record from Dr. Lou Yinga, a letter to the ALJ in January 2005, indicated a lifting restriction that was generally consistent with the ALJ's decision and mentioned no environmental limitations. Mr. Getch's entire argument on this point, therefore, rests on the opinion of consultative examiner Dr. Rashan and the limitations set forth by the reviewing doctors. The ALJ expressly rejected both of these reports to the extent that they were not supported by the record. Regarding Dr. Rashan, the ALJ looked at the doctor's own examination notes, and which were mostly normal. In fact, it's really quite remarkably normal. But he rejected the extreme limitations that Dr. Rashan indicated as inconsistent. These would include the limitations that Dr. Rashan indicated on Mr. Getch's ability to perform work in the context of dust and vibration and noise and other environmental issues. Regarding the state agency doctors, Dr. Bassnagel and Landwehr, the ALJ accepted some of their limitations and he rejected some of their limitations. He accepted the lifting, standing, and sitting limitations. Should be pointed out that the reviewing doctors also indicated limitations on his ability to stand. They said he could only stand for 2 hours. They said he could stand for 6 hours. The ALJ found that he had more extreme limitations. He could only stand for less than half the day. He rejected the, he explicitly rejected the postural limitations set forth by the reviewing doctors because, quote, there was no persuasive evidence in the record to support such limitations. The same goes for the environmental limitations that these two doctors indicated. Mr. Goetsch points to no other evidence in the record except for the evidence cited of the two reviewing doctors to indicate that he had environmental limitations. He doesn't explain why the ALJ should have ignored the numerous instances in the record in which doctors who were describing his work limitations omitted any of the environmental limitations checked off by doctors Busnagel and Landwehr, or the environmental limitations indicated by Dr. Lachon. Regarding his argument regarding the past relevant work, I would just like to point out that even with if the limitations that he testified to were accepted, it would not necessarily follow that he was unable to perform his past work as a seam welder or as the vocational expert testified. The actual title of the position was machine tender. This was not a different job, incidentally. The vocational expert made that clear. I would also like to address, because Mr. Goetsch did not, an issue that he raised regarding the Appeals Council evidence. After the ALJ issued his decision, Mr. Goetsch submitted to the Appeals Council evidence for consideration. The Appeals Council denied review of his request for review, and he, in district court, requested that the court find that the Appeals Council committed legal error. We would suggest that Mr. Goetsch's argument on this point is inconsistent with this court's decision in Perkins. In particular, in his reply brief, Mr. Goetsch states that the Appeals Council basically must have found the evidence not material under the regulation because the council found that it did not provide a basis for changing the ALJ's decision. That argument, we submit, is inconsistent with this court's decision in Perkins. Therefore, the court does not have the jurisdiction to review the Appeals Council's discretionary decision to deny review. For these reasons, we ask that the court affirm the commissioner's decision. And if there are no questions, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kerr. How much time does Mr. Schultz have? Thank you.
Just a couple of points, Your Honor. The commissioner goes through an analysis. Mr. Guerin went through an analysis as to why, in his opinion, the ALJ could have found that Mr. Goetsch could have worked in these environments. But the ALJ did not undergo that analysis, and this court has held that it's not for the commissioner's lawyers to present the reasoning behind a decision, but the ALJ has to undertake that in the first instance. In addition, I'd like to point out that in Social Security ruling 82-62, the claimant is the primary source of vocational information. And since Mr. Goetsch testified that he had to work under those conditions and the severe pain he was in when exposed to those environments, that the ALJ should have and was required to consider that. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Our thanks to both counsel in this case today for their fine oral arguments. The case will be taken under advisement.